Thank you very much for being here this evening. Take your Bible, please. Open it in the New Testament to Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. Colossians chapter 2. And we are going to study again this section of Scripture. In chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, we have a very important section of the Bible. In this section, he says that you will either be captured by human philosophy or you will belong to Jesus Christ. You will either be captured by the taskmaster of human philosophy, or you will be the child of God. There is no in between. He says in verse 8, beware, and you could put an exclamation point after that and you'd have the idea. Beware lest any man spoil you. How? Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, warns them, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And then he says in verse 9, for in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Notice that word spoil in verse 8. Spoil. It has the idea of the spoils of war. When an army is defeated by another, and the victor loots the loser's belongings, he carries both the loser and the goods home as a reward for his victory. That's the idea behind this word spoils. And when the devil and the evil world system deceive you and trick you into thinking or doing their will, you become a defeated soldier in God's army, and they carry you away as part of their prize for their victory in your life. Now, how does the enemy do this? How does Satan entrap God's people and carry them away as part of his spoils of war? Number one, it says here in verse 8, he does it through man-made philosophy. Man-made philosophy. Well, what is that? Well, man-made philosophy is human wisdom apart from, independent of, the wisdom of God. It is man's attempt to live his life, think his thoughts, believe what he wants to believe, apart from, independent from, the living Word of God. The modern intellectual world tonight wants nothing to do with God, nothing to do with Jesus Christ, his Son, and nothing to do with God's infallible Word. All philosophy is built around a godless center. And that godless center, the hub of the wheel of it, is called secular humanism. Secular humanism. And secular humanism has taken over our world at every level. Secular humanism is a religion. And this religion teaches that man, in and of himself, is the supreme being in the universe. It teaches there is no God. And even if there was a God, you don't need him to help you live your life. Secular humanism says you don't need God in times of sorrow. You don't need, they say, the Lord God in the trials of life. They say that you don't need God to give you joy. You don't need God to save you from hell. You know why? Because they don't believe hell exists. They just don't believe anything. And they say that you don't need God. Even if he existed, you don't need him. Paul warns these Colossian believers, and therefore also us, not to be carried away by the lies of the enemy like an army carries away the spoils of war. So the first lie is human philosophy. Secular humanism is what we call it today. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Secular humanism, which says no God, no creation. That's the reason, by the way, they push evolution. They've been working on our kids in our public schools for over 100 years, trying to get children to believe that science is supreme, not the Word of God. No God, no creation, that man is inherently good, they say. And they say that he is a product of his environment. And that's the reason they have spent and continue to spend billions and billions of taxpayer dollars on social projects in this country. Housing, welfare, government schools, all to provide, they say, an environment that is conducive to the producing of fine, upstanding citizens. Only problem is it's worse now than it's ever been. Crime is greater now than it was when Lyndon Johnson signed the bill that started the war on poverty. Morality has descended into the pit in this country since that time. I could go on and on citing statistics about crime and murder and drugs and all kinds of evil that has descended upon our country as a result of the environmental influences of secular humanism on our children. They teach that there is no absolute morality except that which is dictated by the state. Secular humanism says that most things, morally speaking, are relative. Relative. Not right, not wrong, but gray. Relative. And it all depends on the situation and how you look at it. Just depends on how you define the word is. Secular humanism teaches that human life comes from evolution, not from God. And therefore only the state is the final arbiter as to who lives and who dies. Well, you know these things. You've seen this in the Obamacare bill. They set it up so that the government decides who lives and who dies according to the protocols listed in the legislation. And this whole idea of health care for all will be worse than that. Secular humanism teaches, human philosophy teaches, that all forms of sexual behavior are acceptable, all of it, including adults with children, children with children, people having sex with animals, sex with people of the same gender. All that we're seeing in the transgender movement, all that we're seeing in the homosexual and lesbian movement is designed to corrupt our children and destroy them because they are created in the image of God. You see, the homosexual and the lesbian don't reproduce. They recruit. And they're pushing the envelope in our culture to accept their aberrant, abnormal, vile behavior as normal. Why? We have a presidential candidate for the Democrat Party who is married to a man. Married to a man. And nobody says a word. Nobody. Nobody. He announced his candidacy and reached over after announcing it and kissed on live television his husband. And because our culture has become acclimated to it, they're making it where everybody just thinks that's just whatever you want to do. Consenting adults is fine. And the purpose is to get to the children. You see, secular humanism believes that the authority of the government comes from men, not from God, in spite of what the Constitution says. They don't believe it. In other words, secular humanism is a philosophy, and it is a humanistic, man-centered philosophy, and it is diametrically opposed to everything God says and everything God did and everything God teaches in this book. And our modern world has seen what will happen to a nation that forgets God and places human philosophy on the altar and worships it. It happened in Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany was the most educated race that's ever been. And Nazi Germany accepted the false philosophy of secular humanism. It didn't happen when Hitler showed up. He just codified it. He just brought it all together. It had been going on for decades before in the public school system. And secular humanism, rationalism, took over the education system of Germany. And they brainwashed those children, just like our education system is brainwashing the children tonight. And that resulted in their ability to declare an entire race of people to be inferior and systematically murdered 6 million of them that we know of. Communism has done the same thing under Stalin and Mao Zedong and Castro and others. And in America, which was once the land of the free and the home of the brave, America, which was once a nation that honored God and honored His word, in America, now, which was once a nation where secular humanism had no place to thrive, it is now eating alive at our nation, and it is killing us like a cancer. God warns us in verse 8 to beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy, human wisdom, is destroying our nation, and it's destroying our churches. Instead of standing firm for the truth of this book, instead of refusing to allow our godless culture and the standards of the world to change the church, the pastors and churches in this country have embraced the deadly philosophy of humanism, secular humanism. And they have adopted it to suit their own ends. They have adopted secular humanism and all of its illegitimate children, such as the social justice movement and the critical race theory and all the rest that's going on in the secular culture. They've brought it all in. Secular humanism. Beware lest any man spoil you, capture you, defeat you, and carry you away with human philosophy. And there's a second thing, and vain deceit. That is a picture of a fish hook. A fish hook. Have you ever gone fishing with worms and fish hook? We could not afford a Zebco rod and reel when I was a boy. I got one later in life as a young teenager, probably mid-age teenager, about 15, 16. But before that, we couldn't afford it. But my grandpa had a cane pole. I don't know where you get cane poles anymore. I haven't seen one in years. He had a cane pole. And he had a string on the end of it and a hook on the end of that string. And then he had a yellow and white sphere, a bobber, that you hooked on the string. And you set it for whatever height of the water you were going to put it in. And then you put your pole out in the water. He would set a rock on it. And then we'd sit on the bank. What are we doing? We're waiting for that bobber to move. Fish would come along. They'd smell that worm. You take that worm, I forgot to say, and you slide the hook up inside of its body and leave part of it hanging off. And so it's wiggling there, and you put that out there, and the fish smells the worm, and the fish works its way around, finds where it is, and he'll nibble at it. And your bobber will jump, jump. Then he'll nibble at it again. Then finally he will grab a hold of that fish or that worm, and he'll have the hook and the worm in his mouth. And that's when my grandpa said, "Now you yank, when you see that bobber go down, you pull up," and it causes that hook to catch in the mouth, the body of the fish, and then of course you're able to bring it in. And the devil and the evil world system are just like that. They're just like that. They are too smart to walk boldly into your presence and slap you in the face and say, "Conform. Sin with us. Let's go." No. They use a process called nudging. Nudging. They gently push, gently nudge you and I and our culture and our churches. They push it further and further away from the truth and closer to the lies of Satan. And one day you come to believe that the lies of the devil are the truth. In the church, this started with the changing of our Bibles. Why, they said, "You can't understand the King James language. It's too old-fashioned. It's too difficult. It's too archaic." That's a big word to use when you're griping about how hard it is to understand a language. Archaic. It's too antiquated. You need something new and fresh and down on the level where people are. People in the modern world will reject Jesus if they are told about him using that antiquated language. If you're going to reach the lost, you must give them a Bible that's down where they are. And they dumbed down the Bible. And they came out with version after version after version after version after version, all of which keep getting revised and revised and revised. Even call one of them the revised version. And it's been revised. And once the bulk of Christians and churches and churchgoers bought into the idea that they must have a quote-unquote better Bible, Satan and the secular humanists proceeded to step two. That was step one. What is step two? In Satan's preparation for mankind for the one world religion of the Antichrist, step one is give them a Bible, but not a perfect one. A book that contains the Word of God, but is not the Word of God. Give them a corrupted Bible. There'll be enough in it that they'll recognize it and they'll accept it. And step two is to change the worship service from being focused on God and His Word to being a man-centered event. Now, how did they do that? What have they done to change the worship of Almighty God and His Son through the Word to a man-centered event? They did it by incorporating sensual music that appeals to the flesh of the churchgoers. This started in the late 60s, and it really got rolling in the 80s. And now it has taken over. Most professing Christians tonight see nothing wrong with the use of rock music in churches. You know why? Because they use it and they listen to it in their regular life. They listen to ungodly music outside the church house, and they become acclimated to it. Their bodies become responsive to it. And they get to the point that they cannot respond any other way. Now listen to me carefully. Sensual, worldly music will give you a feeling that the devil wants you to think, he wants you to believe, is the filling of the Spirit of God. But it is a counterfeit. And the frightening thing tonight is that the pastors, who should know better, are pushing for their music people to bring into the church worldly, sensual, man-centered music. Why? Because they believe the lies of the devil, and they're convinced that in order to reach the lost world, we have to become like them. When the one world religion arrives, when the devil and the false prophet bring their religion to the forefront, and all the world religions are poured together into the great harlot of the Revelation, Satan and the false prophet will find that the work of convincing mankind and the professing church that the Antichrist is God will have already been done for them by Christians. So he says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition, the rudiments of the world, of men, and not after Christ. The philosophy of man is a fish hook, and Satan dangles that worm out there in front of you, and you swallow it, not realizing the hook is inside. And he slowly reels you in until one day you find out it's too late. I know a pastor not far from here who has done this very thing. You would think a Bible-believing pastor wouldn't make this mistake, but it's so easy to fall for it. You see, Satan dangled out in front of him man-made philosophy, public speaking techniques, leadership techniques, books and articles and recorded messages about how to do this and that and the other as a leader in your church. Problem is some of them are atheists, some of them are heretics, others are just flat out worldly. I have to be very careful what I read, very careful what I listen to. You have to be too. You cannot just go down to the Christian bookstore and buy a book and it be trustworthy, scriptural. The philosophy of man is a fishhook dangled in front of us by Satan. And it sounds so good, humanly speaking. It looks so inviting and appealing, humanly speaking. And we get over close to it like that fish, swim around it, get closer to it, finally become enticed by the smell of it, the thought of it, the look of it, and nibble at it. Not first bite, just a nibble. Just a nibble. And in the church this happens. Just a little bit of compromise. And then a little more. Like my grandpa said, watch that bobber. It'll just go up and down just a moment. Now he's there. And we're going to see if he takes the bait. And eventually, the fish would take the bait. And then the devil reels us in. And it's too late. If you're saved and have heretofore allowed the devil to render you inoperative for Jesus, you can cry out for mercy and God will deliver you. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the devil has convinced you, or if the devil has convinced you that you're fine, even though your soul is on its way to hell, don't believe it. Don't believe it. May we pray?